Inside the Cross Podcast.
And the Inside Lacrosse Podcast welcomes in Charlie Wisco. This is a little bit of a departure from our usual type of guest on this podcast that you folks have gotten used to. Charlie is the Barstool Sports resident lax blogger, and we decided that, well, first of all, I'm a Barstool Sports fan, so, you know, I was inherently interested when they started posting some blogs. And then, in addition to that, he wanted to come on here and talk some lax. And obviously, Charlie, you've got some podcast experience in your back pocket, primarily hockey stuff. So now we'll jump into another passion of yours. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about this because, as people might notice, I've been with Barstool since, I believe, this January, mostly working on a KFC Radio, which is our podcast branch. And doing a bunch of other stuff, blogging about the Rangers and, you know, hopefully some other sports stuff in the future. But, then I did, when the lax season rolled around, I started blogging, you know, previews for the tournaments for, Barstool U. And, I'm pretty much the only lacrosse fan in the entire company. We actually have a guy in New York, Beardo, who posts our, some of the more, women oriented parts of, Barstool New York actually played in college. But he's pretty much the only other one, so it's nice to be able to talk some lacrosse, something. You know, I get an opportunity to talk a lot of baseball and hockey, which is fine, but, you know, not enough to talk about this sport, that's for sure.
And, well, all right, so let's just start at the beginning. What's your lax background? Are you a Westchester County guy? I'm judging that based
on
the area code.
I'm a Fairfield County guy.
Oh, okay, right.
I'm from Connecticut. I played in the FCAC in high school. Has been playing since like first grade. You know, pretty good team. I was always the kid who always really liked lacrosse. I always loved to watch it. I always loved to be on the team. But then I was always the kid who like wasn't always crazy about playing. I never wanted to like go to practice. I just wanted to like play in games and sort of have fun with it. So I went to college with Wisconsin. Didn't play club first semester because I couldn't get my stuff on the plane. And then the Barstool gig came up, and unfortunately wasn't able to play club second semester either. So that never really happened for me, the club, but always loved watching lacrosse. Obviously, Connecticut's a huge lacrosse hotbed. So, you know, it's nice to sort of, you know, it's nice to be able to watch it as much as possible and talk about it on the internet, even though I don't, you know, really play the game anymore and fat and out of shape.
Hey man, no, it's don't worry, there are a lot of people listening to this podcast that have similar types of tales, and that's all good because mine's not too far removed either. But before we jump into the Wisconsin stuff, I do want to talk about what the reception was like when you started posting lacrosse posts on a sports website that, you know, has a pretty well established reputation for not being too fond of it, despite the fact that obviously so much of the audience is lacrosse fans. What type of reaction did you get? You know, obviously people that are familiar with Barstool know what the comment section is. I'm not talking about that, but like, you know, whether it was on Twitter or, you know, other comments that you got, what was the reaction to those types of posts?
It was actually overwhelmingly positive, believe it or not. I mean, not in the the comment section is the comment section. I mean, anyone who reads Barstool knows that our comment section is horrible. The bloggers hate them. We, you know, it's a hate relationship. And obviously they were never, you know, with lacrosse's reputation sort of being what it is, that was never a battle I was going to win, nor one I was concerned about winning. And people have to remember, because I would have people be like, man, like, you know, people, like, I read the comments, people don't seem to like us. I'm like, there were 80 comments per post, but thousands and tens of thousands of people see, like, every blog. So it's not even like 1% of the viewership. So, but most of it was really positive. You know, on Twitter, I put my email on the blog. That people emailing me and tweeting at me saying that they really liked it, saying that the posts were good and that they enjoyed seeing some coverage on Barstool and getting some recognition for college lacrosse. The coolest part of the reception for me was actually the number of players who kind of came out of the woodwork and said that they really enjoyed them and who reached out to me. You know, it's funny because I don't really have a rooting interest. I mean, Connecticut doesn't have a team, obviously, or a good team anywhere near it. So I have more just watched for the sport than anything else. But then a bunch of people turned out to be stoolies, like Matt Kavanaugh from Notre Dame, you know, Nico Amato, Brian Cooper, Mike Chanichuk for Maryland, all sort of came out and were like, hey, we really, like, enjoyed reading these, and we thought they were pretty good. So the coolest part was the actual players receiving it really, really well. But yeah, I think the reception was pretty good for the most part. I mean, you know, it was Kay Marco, who runs our Barstool U site, said, yeah, I'll just throw them up and see what kind of numbers and what kind of eyeballs they get. And then after the first round was over, he kept letting me post them. So the fact that he let me continue to do them, I took as a sign that they would at least have some sort of popularity.
That's right, yeah. And I got to say, out of all the schools that advanced in the NCAA tournament, the one that surprised me the least in terms of the interaction that I saw with you on Twitter was coming from Maryland, because in my opinion, if there's a team or program that embodies the Barstool common man mentality, it's going to be the Terps.
Yeah, totally. That's kind of what I thought. They're a team who, you know, you see the mosh pits on the sideline, who I think are really good but don't overly take themselves too seriously. Like I would try to reach it because I thought it would be cool if I could do interviews with every single Final Four team, but I wasn't going to actually do it unless I, got to reach out to every single team to make it fair. And I reached out for Duke, and, like, none of their players responded or, you know, made any sort of attempt. Even guys who I, like, you know, Case Mathias, who were in my area and we have a ton of mutual friends, never, like, I don't want to single him out, actually, but just, like, and I don't blame them if, you know, there's any team that should be wary of the media for obvious reasons. It should be Duke lacrosse. But, you know, I think Maryland, they don't really take themselves too seriously. They have a lot of fun, and they're obviously excellent. I've actually always liked Maryland growing up, but, you know, the amount of stoolies on their team was really cool. Probably skewed me to actually predicting them and, saying that they were going to win by more each game than they probably were going to. But also another thing of the reception I forgot to mention was one way I did kind of win the battle with the stoolies was I started throwing out how sports books in the post take lacrosse bets. And most of my, you know, predictions in terms of over-unders and what the score would be and who was going to win on Twitter were pretty accurate. So a bunch of people actually who don't even care about lacrosse started reading them, they told me, and were like DMing me and emailing me saying, hey, I bet $1,000 that, you know, Denver will beat Drexel by, you know, at least 8 goals, and they won the bet, so I'm going to keep reading. So, you know, the gambling is a pretty big part of how we cover sports on Barstool, so that angle actually certainly really helped with the reception as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I've made this comment a couple times. I mean, it's hard to, whenever you're primarily covering a college sport, it's hard to push the betting on sports angle too strongly. But, you know, it is an aspect of why a lot of people decide to watch something that they otherwise wouldn't have any interest in. And that's one of the challenges that lacrosse is always facing as a regional sport with a relatively small network of universities that are participating. You want to get as many non-affiliated fans as possible. And so, you know, the gambling angle is certainly one of it. And you know, it just doesn't – it was funny. I was in Vegas for the MLL championship weekend last year, and I was, like, scrambling around everywhere trying to find a book that would take a bet because I had a really good feeling about the Charlotte Hounds, and there was no action anywhere. So that's the next frontier, the gambling angle for sure. But
no, I totally agree, and I think that's the big unspoken part of even the World Cup. The popularity, like, everyone's like, why is the World Cup so popular? I've watched every World Cup game because I bet on every single World Cup game. I always wonder who the odds makers are who, you know, set these over unders that were, I know they were on Sportsbook for the tournament, and obviously they don't seem to be a lacrosse guy. So if you have any sort of lacrosse knowledge, it's a pretty easy way to make some money because you have people, you know, maybe setting the lines who don't totally know what they're talking about. So it's pretty fun. I enjoy it. I've always enjoyed gambling. I've never really hidden the fact I enjoy gambling. Obviously not advocating anybody else do it, but it was a good way to kind of win the crowd over was when you start making people some money.
No doubt. And so this is just like a little thing of mine that I'm not certain how true this actually is. And if anybody from Sportsbook that makes the lacrosse lines is listening, I hope you're not offended by this. But I'm of the opinion that it's all algorithm based and there's like no actual thought or analysis, eyeball analysis being put into these lines. I think it's all results based. I could be completely wrong.
Yeah, no, they. I think it's people who probably know nothing about lacrosse go on laxpower.com and look at people and be like, oh, well, Duke beat, you know, Notre Dame by this much in the regular season, or Notre Dame beat Duke by this much in the regular season, so we'll just set the line at this. And that seems to be what it's based on. Because, I mean, the way probably, you know, the way these books make their money isn't by the educated fan, you know, putting stuff down. It's the, you know, hopeless addicts who, you know, just bet absolutely everything that they can bet on. So if it's on ESPN, they know that somebody who probably doesn't know that much will watch it to put money on it. So I think that's one way lacrosse will expand. I'm a pretty harsh critic, of how lacrosse is marketed and how Major League Lacrosse kind of, you know, markets and, how they kind of dictate the coverage. I think that they could do a much better job of making the sport more popular. And I think, you know, having the gambling angle actually would be one way to do it.
Well, before we like kind of dive in a little bit to some of the other thoughts, I want to stick with this World Cup thing because you mentioned obviously how infatuated so many non-soccer fans have become with this World Cup, and you know, it's the day after the U.S. national team got eliminated. We'll see how this perpetuates not only through the rest of this World Cup tournament, but then also, you know, into soccer's many variations over the course of the next 4 years until the World Cup comes back. But my thing is this, like, so I've always argued that, you know, fandom is like a generational thing, and it, you know, lacrosse in 20 years will be considerably more popular than it is right now because more people will be comfortable with the idea of being a fan of lacrosse. And then 2 generations from now, that number will increase even more. And people constantly talk about how since the 70s, we've been hearing that soccer is the next big thing in America. And I'm not saying that there haven't been people that have overstated it over the last 40 years, but like, soccer does incredible numbers in pretty much every metric as you compare it to a lot of other sports, especially when you compare it to itself 20 and 40 years ago. And so my thing is that for the number of people that hate on lacrosse on a regular basis that say it's a small regional sport, I don't say you're incorrect. My point is that it is a sport that is experiencing incredible growth rates, and those are likely to continue, but they will take multiple generations in order to get to whatever type of critical mass will garner the respect of somebody like your boss, Kevin Clancy. So,
yeah. So
my thing is, how do you view what you've seen all these guys that otherwise wouldn't be that into soccer get into soccer in comparison to like what you think they would do if they sat down and watched the NCAA lacrosse tournament with the intensity that they've been watching the World Cup?
Well, the main thing I actually always compare it to is people forget about basketball. That basketball, like in the NBA, took, you know, it was a league that started in the 50s. It really wasn't popular until like the 80s. And, you know, the MLL is only like, what, like 10 years old, 15 years old, something like that. So in terms of where it should be as a professional sports league that is in many ways still in its infancy, I think it's actually pretty far ahead of the game. I mean, in the 70s, when you had guys like Dr. J on the cover of Sports Illustrated, there were still NBA games that were being shown on TV on tape delay. So for a sport that doesn't get a lot of coverage in the mainstream media, I think lacrosse has actually done a pretty good job of expanding itself. I always think the college game is what's going to become popular first. I always think that the college game, it will, you know, I think that's the way most sports, you know, football, basketball, kind of the path they've taken where college becomes big. And then when college gets big, then the pros start handing out the big money, and that's when it becomes a big sport. I also think that one day we'll kind of look back on lacrosse. I always joke about how, you know, the Thompson twins, who I enjoyed watching more than anyone, more so than they are great, they're just really ahead of the curve. I think the level of skill and athleticism and the increase in skill and athleticism we'll see in guys playing lacrosse that everyone will be playing like the Thompson twins in 20 years. And we'll kind of look back on this period of lacrosse the way we look back on, you know, 1960s basketball, which is a bunch of white boys, you know, shooting mid-range jumpers and doing pick and rolls the whole game and not, you know, not playing above the rim at all. So I think lacrosse has a lot of room for development and probably actually has done a better job of growing itself than people probably give it credit for.
Right on. And one of the things that's most interesting to me, I'm from Cleveland originally, and I came to Baltimore for college, and I've stayed here to work in the sport professionally. You took the opposite path. You're from a hotbed, and you went to the lacrosse frontier. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of interesting elements to lacrosse in Wisconsin right now. Marquette entering its third season. You know, I know that Madison and Milwaukee are about an hour apart, but still, I'm sure that you probably fly in and out of Milwaukee in order to get there, right?
Yeah, I go, Milwaukee and Madison. A bunch of Marquette students also come to party in Madison, and I actually can't wait because when Marquette games are when Marquette gets a team, I'll actually get them on local team and won't just have to be able to watch lacrosse when it's on ESPNU or ESPN2. So I'm pretty excited about that.
No doubt. And then obviously with the advent of Big Ten lacrosse, even though Wisconsin isn't going to have a team this year or in the foreseeable future, I'm assuming that there will be a little bit more interest in Big Ten lacrosse throughout Madison. Then obviously the last thing that you mentioned earlier is the club team. So what do you think of the scene that exists lacrosse-wise in Wisconsin right now?
Well, you know, and anyone who's been to college in the Midwest know that the Big Ten is king. It's religion. It's something that I certainly wasn't used to. You know, I kind of experienced it with Big East basketball, but that's about it. I knew it was bad, actually, when I remember I was with my buddies trying to watch a football game just a casual Saturday. It's when Texas A&M Alabama was on. And they didn't want to watch the game because, like, Minnesota, Iowa was playing or something like that. And they're like, oh, we watch a Big Ten. So as soon as the Big Ten Conference really forms and becomes somewhat competitive, which I think with, you know, the amount of money that schools like Michigan and Ohio State are going to throw at their athletic programs will eventually be inevitable. I think people throughout the Midwest are going to hop on board. I mean, a lot of my friends from the Midwest played in high school. You know, the level that they play at, admittedly, is kind of considerably lower than what you might be used to if you watch, you know, a New York or Connecticut, you know, high school team play. I mean, to be perfectly honest and realistic, I played, you know, FCI lacrosse, and we're I would say a powerhouse by any means, but like a top tier high school lacrosse conference. You know, New Canaan, Darien, Ridgefield, Greenwich, Wilton are all, you know, pretty good teams that could compete nationally. Any single one of those teams would win the state championship in Wisconsin, wouldn't even be close. So I think the level will be raised eventually, and I think the sport will grow to be more popular. And I think the big key to the sport getting more popular is going to be the decline. Everyone talks about the decline of football being a factor, which I think, you know, I think if the decline of football actually happens, I'm not sure if it will, that's going to be a big surge in growth. But I think the bigger one is the decline of baseball. I was talking to John Buchagras, who, you know, some of you guys might know is
what a name drop.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, what a big name drop. But I was talking to him about the future of hockey, actually, when doing an interview for Barstool. And he even said, he was like, you know, hockey is a better future than baseball. I think baseball is really on its way out. The numbers are terrible in terms of TV viewership for the World Series and for playoff baseball. It's primarily, you know, it kind of reminds me a lot of like the crisis Fox News viewership's going through, which is that their demographics are starting to die. They're worrying about the people who watch baseball are primarily, you know, white guys over the age of 50 who, you know, for obvious reasons won't be around anymore in 20 years, and they're not really getting as many new fans as they'd like. So I think if baseball declines and maybe football declines, that'll be an opportunity for lacrosse to kind of take its place as a contact sport that people like and as a spring sport that people play. So I think it has a lot of factors that are working for it, which is partially why it frustrates me so much to see how, in my opinion, it's marketed incorrectly. But
well, right. So, okay, that's a natural place to go next. And what's your, you know, like, you know, I'm probably going to, without having to hit the censor button on either our advertisers or if your rank gets a little too aggressive, vulgarity-wise, what's what would you like to see in terms of the way that the sport is pushed, whether it be, you know, commercially or with respect to the professional league?
Well, I think with the professional league, you know, I'm going to sound like a, you know, a 40-year-old lame coach here. I think one thing about, you know, lacrosse has to accept the reality that the biggest story that happened with lacrosse in the last 15 years was the Duke lacrosse rape case. And because of that, you know, it might be unfair, but that's going to be the image that most Americans have of the sport. And so I think the embracing the lax bro culture, kind of the way that it seems like maybe the MLL has and some of the companies have, probably does more to alienate new customers than it does to actually pull them in. I think kind of embracing, you know, having for the All-Star game that's televised, having, you know, the players wear jerseys that look like Affliction t-shirts I think gets more people to change the channel and sort of dismiss lacrosse as this kind of regional bro sport and something that they could actually be part of and be involved in. So I think the way it's kind of embraced that culture, at least in my mind, has really, we're not doing ourselves any favors by doing that. I think that they could do a better job of promoting their stars, and I think that the way they could promote their stars is based on probably more likability than any other, you know, reason, likability more than any other skill. I mean, if you go back to the NBA metaphor, the stars that it tried to promote more and more were Dr. J over a player like Rick Barry, not because Dr. J was a better player than Rick Barry, but because he was more likable and would resonate with fans. And I think in lacrosse, you have some awesome personalities who I think could really resonate with, you know, American people in commercials and, you know, get people drawn to the sport, but instead they try to promote the same players over and over again. So I think it's kind of by embracing the parts of the culture that turn people off, really aren't doing themselves any favors with that. And that's something that frustrates me.
Okay. So I kind of had a feeling you were going to go here, and it's helpful, kind of logical, because it speaks to, I guess, the area that you could address by being like, and, you know, Charlie, the biggest reason I wanted to have you on is not just because of, your connection with Barstool, but also because, you know, the area that you've, like, just kind of, I don't know, cultivated for yourself is having a lacrosse related perspective in an aspect of media that is sports based, but lacrosse is like very much subjugated down the list. So like you have an interesting perspective in comparison to me, who works at a place where lacrosse is, you know, predominantly the thing that we care about. So,
yeah.
So my thing is when you attack the idea of the lax bro, you know, I think that a lot of times that issue as an issue becomes oversimplified. And so like, first of all, I do agree that putting it, like, the MLL is clearly a, and the NLL as well, although to a lesser extent, are clearly star-driven leagues where more, you know, as much or more so than people show up or tune in to watch the uniform, they, you know, tune in or show up to watch the particular player who's wearing the uniform, which isn't necessarily true all the time. It's probably less true in baseball and football than it is in basketball. So you can see this relative comparison developing already. So the first point that I'm going to make is, how do you avoid promoting the lax bro elements that people see when they look at the sport when the sport is played by lax bros? I mean, this is a tenet of the ball, you know, the way that Barstool deals with stereotypes is the acknowledgement that stereotypes exist because they're rooted in truth if they are caricatures. So like, how do you reconcile that? I mean, you're from an area where the lax bro in Connecticut is a lot different from the lax bro in Maryland, is a lot different from the lax bro in Atlanta. And that's part of my issue with the term in general, and my term, and to move it back even further, the term bro, is that it doesn't really mean anything. Like, the difference between somebody that wears Sperry's and Crokies versus somebody that wears an Affliction t-shirt is dramatic. And yet, to some people, they both fall under the category of bro. So how do you reconcile that? What do you think, you know, I guess to put it another way, in your opinion, is Paul Rabil a bro?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point about how it is kind of an umbrella term. And it is one that maybe doesn't really mean anything. And it is a sport played by lax bros. But, you know, that's a really good point. But I guess what my only counter to that would be that the way lacrosse is marketed, there's almost a lack of awareness to it where, yeah, that's true. And I think it's not totally fair the way that people do kind of take how there is a wide variety of people who play lacrosse. Anyone in the lacrosse community knows there's a lot of, you know, different, and it's a lot more diverse than people give it credit for. But people outside of that community kind of pigeonhole that. And, you know, that's not necessarily fair, but it's just simply the reality of the situation. So the way I guess I would is like the way we market ourselves in commercials and such. And I think they're actually doing a better job of it. You know, that commercial of the little kid growing up and playing when he was older, I forget who, I think it's Stanwyck. Like, that's a great commercial to me. Because you're marketing it, not the lifestyle angle of it, But it, as a legitimate sport that people care deeply about, is really hard, and you have really great athletes playing. So I guess my answer to that would be the emphasis on me, to me at least, shouldn't be on the particular lifestyle as much as it should be about the sport itself. And I think, and maybe in this, because I'm a lacrosse fan, I have full confidence that when people actually, you know, see the sport and experience it for what it is, that they'll enjoy it, because I do think it's the best game in the world. I mean, that's just my opinion. And I think it's high, you know, it has contact, it's fast paced, it's high scoring. I think, you know, great athletes play it. So I think that sometimes the way lacrosse promotes itself is through, and that you have to embrace a particular lifestyle in order to play lacrosse. Whereas I think if they just promote the actual athletic element of it itself, they might get a lot more success.
I think you used a really important term in there, and that was legitimate. And I think that that, to me, is the is the strongest struggle facing lacrosse gaining respectability outside of existing lacrosse fans. And I think that there's too widespread an idea or thought that lacrosse is played by a bunch of guys who couldn't play something else. Or
yeah.
If I as a good athlete were to play lacrosse, I would dominate in a year or two.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, that is the aspect of it that not only is becoming continually less true, because I think that the game, as it develops, evolves, and becomes more complicated and played by a higher level, a higher stock of athlete, more nationally, becomes less true. But the other side of it that I think is interesting, and this is hard for me to really kind of put a finger on how quickly it changes, and I think that it does change very quickly across, you know, from school district to school district. But basically what I see is that, you know, when lacrosse enters a place for the first time, one of the things that there are two primary functions that attract kids to playing it, outside of the obvious, which is everything that you explained about the game being high scoring, fast paced, exciting. The first is that because it's not an established sport, oftentimes it doesn't attract the kids that are the best players at other sports that they're already playing. And so to that degree, I understand where the preconceived notion that the best athletes don't play lacrosse comes from. And then I think the other thing that is so attractive about it is the fact that you can kind of personalize your game. Now, not only can you be, you know, short or tall, you know, fast or quick, whatever, there are a lot of different athletes that can be good at lacrosse. But in addition to that, you have this stick that you can make your own. And I think that it's derivative of that, that the style comes from. So, like, that's one of the issues that I always take with this idea that, like, the Lax Bro is, like, a newfound thing. Like, the Lax Bro's existed since the mid-60s when the sport, you know, became popular all across the country. So, I don't know. I feel like some of these things that you're talking about are not only issues, but they're also, like, parts of the identity of the game. And I just think that it's pretty exciting to talk to somebody who, you know, can represent that to a wider audience than just lacrosse fans. So, you know, whether it's in Barstool or in Wisconsin, the fact that you're carrying the flag is a pretty, I don't know, exciting thing, right?
Yeah, thanks. I do appreciate it. You know, it is funny being the kind of lacrosse representative to the site, and the site that is pretty big in popularity. It's pretty funny. I mean, I still even find you know, people tweeting at me, and, you know, if I say anything about any other sport, they'll be like, oh, what's the Lax Bros take on it? Which is, you know, something kind of funny to have to, you know, obviously there's nothing about me that would suggest me being a Lax Bro in any way, but it is funny being that representative. But I just want to go back. I think you made a really, really good point earlier about, the perception that baseball, and like, you know, lacrosse is kids, you going to make the baseball team. And obviously that's not true in areas like, you know, Maryland, New York, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, where the best players, at least in my high school, like the best athletes play football and lacrosse. Like, those are the two sports. And I think in most of the areas where the best players come from, that's true. But, you know, that's kind of why I was frustrated with the whole, you know, and at first I thought it was great. Zach Dorn, who came out and shot the 117 mile per hour shot, which was great, I think, because it got, for the most part, because it got, you know, some level of, you know, recognition, and it, you know, it went viral. It was one of our top posts of the week, actually, on Barstool. It was, you know, it got, I think it was on SportsCenter late night, one night, So it was pretty cool how it got some recognition, but then there were the people like, oh, how legit can your sport be if, you know, they can have a fan come from the stands and set a record? And I was just like, all right, well, you know, saying that Zach Dorn to come out and just dominate lacrosse from the stands is a lot like saying the guys on the long ball drive tour who just, you know, crush beers and, you know, hit their driver 500 yards are better golfers than Tiger Woods. So, you know, there is that level of misunderstanding. And when things go viral in lacrosse, I think it doesn't. And I think one thing that also doesn't do it favors too is just everything on TV is slower. And that's how the wider audience is the only way they see. I mean, if you've gone to a football game in person, you know how much faster the running backs move than they appear to on screen. But you have that understanding because you've gone to football games and you've gone to baseball games, you've gone to hockey games as a kid. But lacrosse, the wider audience, most people only see it through their television screen. So they're like, oh, it's a bunch of, you know, slow white kids, because they don't go in person and see, like, how much of a fast-paced game it is. And I think as the sport gets more and more exposure nationwide and people see, you know, the game played in person, they're going to watch on TV and have a better of understanding of how much athleticism and skill actually goes into it. So, you know, I know I've been kind of negative so far in the conversation and more pointing out what we're doing wrong, but I think the future is bright for the most part.
Yeah, the long drive competition is exactly what I said. I was like, this is just, it's how it goes, you know? It's a specialized skill. Somebody, you know, goes from being a golfer to a long drive specialist, and you can do the same thing in lacrosse. I thought that that was an important thing to continue to scream from the rooftops to everybody who wanted to talk about how illegitimate 116 miles an hour was. But yeah, no, I mean, so, you know, I guess, to kind of bring this thing in for a landing, you know, when we talk about obviously, all the different elements of, you know, attachment that you have to the game, what are you going to try? You know, is there anything else on the horizon? You know, we talked about World Cup soccer. Is there any hope for a world championship lacrosse blog on the stool?
You know, I've tried, you know, I've tried to do maybe something for, like the Tuerton Awards, like blogging something about the Thompsons, and then they said, sure, but it never fully came together. You know, I am excited for the World Championships, and I'll certainly lobby to get a lacrosse blog on there for that, but, the only problem is it doesn't really fit on any of the sites per se, whereas, you know, it's not really, on
it's
a site
not,
as big
college
as
lacrosse,
yeah, it's not college. That was the angle I took because, you know, the original way I was going to post was actually going to be on DMV, and our guy Nate, who runs Barstool DMV, was talking about maybe getting some Maryland blogs if they made a deep run, and then Smitty, who had recently taken over Barstool Philly from the guy who used to be there, Maurice, said, well, if Penn or Drexel make a deep run, you know, could you maybe. I was talking about maybe doing some coverage with him. So that was how it originally came to pass, writing it. My original blog, I only was Johns Hopkins, Loyola, Maryland, and Penn, and Drexel, just the, you know, teams that had, and they were going to go on the specific Barstool sites. But then, you know, for certain reasons, they didn't get posted on those. But since they were college-oriented, we just shot them over to Keith, who runs the U, and since it was college, he gave it some exposure that way. And, you know, that's something I think since they were relatively popular, I think that's something that, you know, I'm hoping I can do next year and, you know, keep continuing to do. I would actually be really interested to know what Barstool, like what the previews we had for lacrosse were compared to some of the more lacrosse-oriented site. I have no idea what the answer to that is, and I would be interested in finding out. I think that could be revealing either by telling us, you know, maybe it works to promote the sport through more mainstream sites that aren't necessarily cross-oriented, or maybe the opposite's true, that we should be, you know, kind of promoting it and framing it ourselves through, you know, things like Inside Lacrosse. So I have no idea what the answer is, but, you know, hopefully next year I'm going to, you know, have our guy Chris Bagg send me those page view numbers and, you know, try to figure it out.
Right on, dude. Well, yeah, it'll be fun. There's no doubt once we get Barstool International going, then you'll be able to incorporate the games. There you go.
Barstool Global.
That's right. Well, Charlie, hey, man, this was a great conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks, man. I had a really good time being on here. But, yeah, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Huge fan of Inside Lacrosse. Always I think the best lacrosse website and publication, head and shoulders, not you know, hands down, not even close. So really, really a huge fan of what you guys do.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. There's right back at you as it relates to where, you know, where I need to go. When I feel like I'm, drinking a beer, you know, on the internet, more or less.
Yeah, exactly. It's you know, we might be controversial, but hey, that it doesn't mean it's not good.
There you go. Twitter at Charlie Wisco, and hey, man, we'll look forward to the next time you get talking to John Bouchygross about Lax, right?
Yeah, I'll ask him what he thinks the future is for that. Yeah, so I think you just said it, but also I just want to say once again, follow me on Twitter at Charlie Wisco. If you tweeted me something about lacrosse, I respond to pretty much everything, which might annoy some people, and will follow you back. So yeah, follow me on Twitter at Charlie Wisco, all one word, no spaces or anything.
Good stuff. Inside Lacrosse Podcast.